We're pastors Ronald and Coletta Jones of the Rock Christian Church Ministries. And today we thought that we would start just a new phase of our virtual ministry. We want to talk about marriage. And during these several weeks of limited outside contact, I'm sure husbands and wives have done one or two things. You've come closer, or it has created a strain on your marriage. The end of this month will be 56 years. And so we are not experts, because I don't know if there are any experts.
Nope.
But we believe that we can say something today that will cause your marriage to become better. We're pastors of the Rock Christian Church Ministries located in Southeast DC. And so today we're going to do this as a team. And we're hoping that something will be said. It's not scripted. We're just going to talk about our marriage. We're not going to make it seem flowery, like we've never had problems, because we have. But we understand the importance of Christ being the center of your marriage. And so Pastor's going to start off with some information regarding the male and female differences, because we are not the same. We are not wired the same. Our differences are such that they're supposed to blend and not cause friction. So, Pastor, you start.
Well, as usual, it's been about maybe 20 years I've been teaching the male on what God created the male. So quite naturally, you can't learn what God created the male unless you learn about the difference between the male and the female. So this is an insight. God created the female so the male will have someone with whom to share earthly love. To love means to cherish and to care for. Because she was created for the purpose of receiving love, a woman doesn't just desire love, she truly, truly requires it. As much as a man needs to know that he is respected, a woman needs to feel that she is important and special to her husband. And if a woman is single, receiving love is still her greatest need. Male relatives and friends can meet her need by showing brotherly love through acts of kindness, companionship, assistance, and doing life struggles. While one of the male's primary needs is sex, one of the female primary needs is affection. It is when those two interrelated needs are not lovingly understood and balanced, then this can cause some of the worst conflicts in a marriage.
I think that that's really something that we need to understand, because if you do not understand what I need and I don't understand what you need, then through those misunderstandings, they cause hurt. And sometimes they cause unfaithfulness. They cause us to be bitter, to contain strife, because I'm not being fulfilled. And yet I don't realize my purpose. You know, everything that God created had a purpose.
True.
And he gave it a purpose, and it's not the same purpose. So if I don't know, many times we wonder why women become so frustrated when they take over headship, when they've got to pay all the bills and they got to worry about the children and they got to worry about cooking and paying the rent. It's because they weren't designed to take on all of those responsibilities. And so it becomes overwhelming. It's just an overwhelming feeling. You're always tired. You always feel like, well, my goodness, when is it ever going to be my turn? And that's because that when I don't know how to operate, or I'm doing what I'm not supposed to do, what my Father, Heavenly Father, designed for me to do, then I become overwhelmed doing somebody else's job, and they become bored, And they become anxious and begin to look outside of the marriage because they feel like they're not fulfilled. Yet what they've done many times is deserted and walked away from the emotional responsibility to the other party.
And let me interject on what my baby is saying. It's so true. Because right here it says again, it's from my teaching that I've learned. I had to teach myself before I can teach others. Because first, we should be partakers of the word before we can give the word. The male is perfect for the female, and the female is perfect for the male. It is when man and woman expect each other to think, react, and behave in the same ways. That is when they don't know or appreciate their God-given differences. That is when they will experience conflict. Yet, when they understand and value each other's purpose, they can have a rewarding relationship, and they can blend their unique designs, harmony, peaceful for God's glory.
So, I'm sorry.
Well, let me finish that.
Okay.
When God created man's helper, he made her as strong as the man so that she can help him. We have to appreciate the fact that males and females have different strengths and that each can fully function without the other. There are some strengths that God has given my baby, and there are some male strengths that God has given the female that the male do not possess.
So let's look at what happens. We date, and during the dating, we are infatuated most of the time with each other, particularly if there is a sexual involvement prior to getting married. So what happens is we don't do a lot of talking. We don't do a lot of inquiring of each other. We don't allow each other to talk about our visions and things that we desire to do. We're just caught up in an emotional level.
Oh yeah.
And many things we see, but we won't acknowledge that we see them. So what happens is we get married. And when we get married, our marriages are made up of two imperfect people that many times we never saw because we were functioning under the illusion of an emotion. So he bought flowers. He took me out to dinner. We laughed all the time. We had a fun time. It was just a wonderful courting situation. We held hands. He opened the car door. He talked about his job. He talked about how beautiful I was. All of that was to woo me. And then we got married. And in a marriage, we began to unravel. And we are so surprised because this was not the person that I dated, not realizing it was the person you dated. However, because you were filled with lust, filled with infatuation, you never saw it until you got married. And then came the hurt, then came the conflict, then came the struggle, and then we realized that we both, even though many times we went through counseling, we were just downright selfish because I wanted it my way and he wanted it his way. And I'm going to tell you the three things that involved. The greatest of that was communication. Sure. Because the entire time we weren't talking. I didn't know you. You didn't know me. Two imperfect people,
right,
coming together. I didn't know your background. Sometimes I didn't even meet your family until the marriage. And then I'm expecting this Prince Charming who turned into something that I was not in any way expecting. And then comes conflict.
Yep.
And after that, hurt. And all of those three things leads up to really big problems.
Remember what we said earlier, one of a woman's primary strength in a marriage is women like conversation. They like to talk.
Right.
Men, we have to learn to listen. Mm-hmm. not give your opinion, listen, and then take it in. Even like James said, be doers of the word. Take it in. Be slow to quick to hear, but slow to speak. Then you can feel her. I feel you, baby. I feel what you're saying. Not just she's talking to you, but you're looking there. You're looking at the game. She can tell when she got your fullest attention. So feel what she's saying. Then that's where the communicate comes. Just, you got to feel it. It's inside of you to feel it. Because God created man and woman to really have a powerful relationship. So if you let it in, you can feel where she's coming from.
You know, what happens is when we don't talk, I don't know how long many of you that are listening to us today have been married, but you know, if this thing builds, when you're not talking to me and you're not giving me the attention, and then what happens is the enemy begins to tell my husband that I'm not talking to him, because most of the time the male doesn't take the lead. He's waiting for the female to take the lead. And many times after so many times of coming to you and trying to get you to hear me and you're not hearing me, or you make a commitment to me, and then what you do is you get right up and do the opposite to what you tell me you're going to do. That calls for friction. That calls for hurt that is laying there. It hasn't gone anywhere because we're not talking. I mean, we talk at,
right,
but we don't talk to.
Right.
And there's a difference from talking at me or talking to appease me, to make a promise to me. And many times you do that because you want something from me. And then once I give you what you want, then you go right back to what you were doing in the first place. So we don't value the marriage.
And remember, man, the number one thing a man wants that God created him to is respect. And when a man feels like he's not getting respect, everything else shuts down. So she can just pour out her feelings to you. She's crying out to you, physically and mentally. But you feel you done shut it down because you figure she's disrespecting you. You're not hearing her. Number one thing a woman wants is love. So you're clashing. You shut it down because she disrespects you. She needs your love, but they go, that kills the communication because you're clashing.
And respect is earned. So you can't treat me any kind of way, talk to me any kind of way, and expect me to
respect.
Give you what you need, because guess what? You're not giving me what I need. And then from us, neither one supplying the needs of the other, bitterness comes in.
True.
Hurt comes in. And I'm walking around married to an individual. And may I just say today, it doesn't matter how long you've been married.
No, it doesn't.
We hear couples that are married 30 and 40 years that are divorcing. So they didn't wake up one morning and just decide this marriage is over. It took time for that to come to that point where I've just had enough. I'm not even going to work at this anymore, because what's the use? And so it's important that we cut down all the weeds that have grown up. And when you get it all cut down and re-fertilize that ground, because let me say to anyone that's thinking about divorce, and I'm hoping that you will rethink this. You might think that the grass is greener on the other side. I'm here to tell you that maybe the best thing you got is what you already have. And going out looking for something else, you really don't know in this day and time what you're going to end up with. I just think it's important that we understand God came to mend, to restore.
Oh, yeah.
To give you an avenue and give you a way that your marriage won't just come back to where it was. It will become better. And we're witnesses of this. You can understand. I was saved really young at 18. And when I first came to Christ, my husband came into the church, but became deluded because of the misunderstanding of scripture for many people that attend church and judge people by their outside rather than allowing God to deal with the inside. And so from that, you can just speak on that. Your hurt came, and then he made an opposite. Well, I'm not staying here. I'm going back out.
Oh, yes. I remember how well ago, about 30 years ago, I called myself, well, I actually was saved. But the Bible said Romans 10, 9, and 10. Theoretically, I was saved. But I didn't know. I didn't know what saved was all about. And they didn't teach me at that particular. They taught what they knew. So they didn't tell. It was a feeling. It was a feeling. And right then, Satan just took it away from me. I didn't have my mindset on it. So my baby got saved at 18. And a few years later, 52, I got saved. But all that time, God was trying to destroy this mind. I mean, Satan was trying to destroy this mind. But we worked it out. So we worked it out. And I thank my baby. She was strong because she had all it. She could have done Hank Snow, paper towel, cut out of here. But she didn't. She hung tough. And now, God, it's still working. It's still working. We still don't have the final progress.
Final product.
Yeah, the final product is when he called us home. Mm-hmm.
And so after receiving Christ at 18, I believed God for 32 years. He told you he got saved at 52, but there was a 32-year span that I got saved. And during that time of my salvation, a lot of things I had to learn, even a lot of counseling that I received from mothers in the church. Some was good and some was not good. But during that time, God was able to filter it all out. And I really, at one time, became so frustrated with the marriage that I said, I'm out of here. But the Lord said to me, that wasn't his will for me. Now, may I tell anybody, that wasn't what I wanted to hear. At that point in time, I felt like I could find something better. God was saying to me, but that's not my purpose for you. That's not my plan for you. And anybody that's listening to me now, that you're thinking right now about getting a divorce, and I know some may be thinking about it, but if you are a child of God, right, and he is not, now I need to distinguish that. If you are a child of God and he is not a child of God, there are scriptures that will give you the hope you need to stay in the marriage. It says that a sanctified wife will sanctify her husband. So the word sanctification means clean up. So as God cleans you up, so some of you all might be saying to yourself today, well, that means I don't drink no more. I don't smoke no more. You know, you go down what you don't do. That's not what he's talking about.
No.
Sanctification means that he's taking off the bitterness. He's taking off the resentment. Those things where you don't do what you need to do as a wife. You know, sometimes I've had people say to me, and they've said it in years past, I'm leaving. And the only way I come back, he'd be saved. But can I tell you something this morning? God didn't wait to bless you until you got saved. He has continuously blessed you, because the Bible says he reigns on the just as well as the unjust.
Definitely.
And so he didn't say, I'm just going to wait until you get saved before I be good to you. He's been good to you. You're here. He's been good to you. And so that's what God is saying about your spouse. If he's not saved or she's not saved, you can't get fed up because God didn't get fed up with you. You can't say I'm out of here because I am not coming back until they get saved, because God didn't say I'm not going to bless you until you become my child. He was good to you. And so he had to teach me what it meant to be a part of the body of Christ and allowing him to clean. I had to do things at home. I had to spend time with my husband. I couldn't get so holy that I was always judging him or making him feel bad. God had to teach me how to love him, because love covers a multitude of sin. So I had to love him and not see his faults. And I encourage you. Now, remember I said this is to the one saved and one isn't.
Right.
Because it says in the scripture, excuse me, if he be pleased to live with you, you are to let him. So it didn't say put him out. Didn't say kick him out. You want to talk to that?
Well, like God designed again, men and female, male and female. The primary needs of the female is love, conversation, and affection. Men, if we're the foundation, and we are the foundation, it's in us to supply them primary needs. And if you're not doing it, you have to ask God to help you to do it. The Bible says the female is the weaker sex, not because she don't have a relationship with God, not because she don't love the Lord, not because she can't minister God's word, it's but her attitudes inside needs the man of God to bring out them. We are the foundation. When you make marriage and you say, I do, you're telling God that you will take her his daughter. It's in us. It's in us to do it. You have to allow God to do it. A man's ministry, first ministry, starts at home. That's your ministry. If you preach the gospel later on, whether you be a bishop, apostle, whatever God has in store for you. But your ministry starts at home. There's too many people out here who think their ministry starts somewhere in the pulpit, but their home is a wreck. No, that's out of God's order.
So, as my husband is telling you the man's responsibility, but the scripture I quote to you is if which one comes into the kingdom first, if you don't come in together.
Right.
And that's when the Bible talks about forgiveness. And it talks about, you know, one of the disciples asked, how many times should we forgive someone? And he was at, in fact, it was Jesus asking, how many times should we forgive? And they said the maximum number that they came up to was 7 times.
Right.
And so, no, he said, oh no, 70 times 7. So you figure it out. And he said that in a day. So we've got a long ways to go. And it's okay to tell God, I don't know how to do it.
Definitely.
It's okay. In fact, without God, you can't do it.
Definitely.
You can't do 2-3 times a day, much less 70 times a day. So I need to know, how do I forgive, particularly when the individual goes back out and does it again? But the Bible, I relied upon the Bible. I wouldn't allow anybody to tell me that my husband was not going to come in. However, I didn't know how long it was going to take. But I was not looking to him. I was not looking to others. I was looking to God. And he did come in. And when he came in, God taught him how to help me through him to restore our love. And I'm saying to anybody looking at me or us today, this is restored love. This is the betterment coming out when you thought something was over, because God knows how to make it better if we will allow him. He's not going to force me. He's not going to force you. So if I'm holding strife, if I'm holding bitterness, if I'm angry with my spouse, if I will not let go, or I'm resentful of that individual because of the fact that maybe they spent years running around and now they've come back to me and they're not what they were in their youth, I need an overdose.
Yes.
That God can help me. You might say, well, they should have done. All of us have a should have done less. All of us have things that we should have done. But unresolved conflict and unhealed hurts, if I don't let them go, they build up. And then I'm acting in a certain way that's displeasing to God. Now, to the saved people,
yes.
If you come in and your spouse come in and you're saved, and in that salvation, there is unfaithfulness. There is a person that has gone out and not done what God told you to do and ended up in an affair. The Bible gives grounds under those circumstances for a divorce. But I say again, you've got to know what God's will is for you.
Right.
And I found out that never does God do what I want him to do when I want him to do it. Whatever I make up my mind I want him to do and I think this is the will of God, he always goes opposite. So he wants you to understand, come to him. And if the person is not repentant, you know, repentant isn't blaming me. Repentant isn't saying, I wouldn't have done it if you had done X, Y, Z. No, that's not true. Because then you're not taking responsibility for what you did.
Right.
You did what you did knowing it was wrong because you wanted to do it. Because all of us that are children of God and have God living in us, have the Spirit of God living in us, we have an inner person living that dissects right from wrong. And you and I know when we're right. We also know when we're wrong. And just to kind of give you a clue on how right and wrong works, if you got to sneak around, if you got to lie, if you got to be deceitful, it's wrong. Because everything God does, he does in the open, and he does so we can see.
And remember, men, now we're talking about Christians here now. God has given us certain responsibilities to carry out. The female doesn't have it. So he's putting the emphasis on us as far as keeping things intact, your assignment. It's in you to do it. You are the foundation. You are the foundation. God has not changed his order. Man, woman, family. Mm-hmm. So you got to learn his order. Mm-hmm. And then once you learn it, you got to do it. And you can do it. Mm-hmm. You got the Holy Spirit as the lead. The Holy Spirit there is to lead and guide you into all of God's truth and understanding. Yeah, you want to speak, you might want to speak in tongues sometime. You might want to shout. That's good. But you still got to come back and obey the word of God. She is the weakest sex as far as creation is what God is concerned. She's not weak. This is what God say. Treat her as the weakest sex. Adam got in trouble. Adam got Eve in trouble. Adam got in trouble and got kicked out the garden because he disobeyed God. Mm-hmm. He disobeyed God. God has given us nothing we can't handle. You just got to make up in your mind. And some of y'all are married to strong females that don't take nothing from you. Don't take nothing from you. Cover her the way God has created you to cover her. And your marriage will be what God created it to be.
And even if they're strong, they're strong to help you. So I'm not strong to belittle or to think I'm better. But if I handle it right, you know, we're pastors and I'm senior pastor. My husband works along with us. And so we work together. But when I get in the house, I'm not senior pastor then. I'm not in charge of anything then. Then I learn the value of submitting. And submitting is not, I become subverted. I become under him. When a man loves a woman, and we often tell people, you can read in the Old Testament and the New Testament, it never tells the wife to love the husband. There is no scripture that you're going to find that tells the woman you love the husband. But in the Old Testament, it talks about a man leaving his father and his mother and cleaving to his wife. In the New Testament, it tells you that again. And in Ephesians, it tells that says that a man that doesn't love his wife doesn't love himself. So great emphasis is put on that to love that woman. And when a man loves a woman the way God intends for her to be loved, and that, you know, many times men are looking for the wife to serve him. But no, headship means you lead. You do the serving. You make sure things are taken care of. It doesn't matter who brings in the most money.
No.
It doesn't matter what title you are on the job. When you're in the house, there should be no distinction because I am a talker. My husband, even over as he's coming to the kingdom, he talks a lot more. But for the most part, he's quiet. He does things in his way.
Well,
but
you can see this in his taping.
It takes that.
But we all right.
You see, I'm the talker because that's what we do. And he talks. Don't believe that he doesn't talk. However, I can most of the time I'll talk. But it doesn't mean that he is less of a man because he doesn't vocalize as well as I do. I'm very outspoken. I'm very direct. In some instances, that's not my husband's personality unless you make him upset, unless you get him really upset, and then he can say it then, but he has to be pushed. But guess what? Because I'm direct, there are things that need taking care of the house right. I can do. I can question. I can look at a bill and see a problem. But he's my protector. One thing I know about, particularly during these last few weeks of us being together constantly, there's no place that I've gone that my husband does not go with me or take me to the grocery store. It's like he doesn't trust me out by myself. So that's a covering. That's a protector. And man, if you don't understand what it means to be a covering, if you think being head, you know, when I came up, that's what... Always, though, my father was a preacher, and he would always say, he would quote that scripture about man was the head of the woman was right. to be subject to the husband. And I could see those Diggins and those preachers, everybody would say, amen, yeah, that's right. But they misread exactly. what that scripture meant. It exactly. did not mean you were my boss. You didn't marry a child. You married a grown woman. So you're not to tell me, go sit down, go shut up, because I'm the head. No, head means you lead.
By example.
Yes, so you become the servant. You want her to serve you? Well, if she's good enough to serve you, when do you serve her? When do you do for her? Because you're the lead, you're the head. When a man learns that key, you know, many times when we tell people, headship means servant. You're the lead in serving.
Right.
You're the servant, men.
Right.
Headship means servant. When you get that, then guess what she'll do? Because it's in her. Because she was already designed to be your helpmate. She's going to automatically fulfill as much as possible all of your desires, and you won't have to beg and plead, but you want her to do, then you do. That's not order, is it?
Not at all, man. What was the primary need for women? It's love. It's inner. God created the male and God created the female so the male can have an earthly love. If you in your place, you don't even think about it. You won't even think about it. When a man loves a woman. They made a song about that years ago, Percy Sledd. When a man loves a woman, he'll sleep out in the rain. I don't know about all that sleeping out in the rain, but when a man loves a woman, it won't be nothing he won't do for her. And she will know it. She will, even God say, if you love me, you will obey me. So love is there. Bring it out. You and, won't go wrong.
And when it's there, it say here that sex is much more than just the physical act. So you can't get up all day. You haven't called me all day. You haven't seen, checked me. You haven't done anything out of the ordinary. You've been your same ignoring, forgetful self. I wasn't at all. And then at 12 o'clock, you turn into somebody that you want me to meet your needs. And then you're wondering why I'm tired. I'm tired because the sexual physical act for a man is a mental state for a woman.
Right.
And so if you got to work on that mental, getting her in a right form. Why is she like that? That's how God made us.
Remember, men want sex. Women want desire affection. Affection is different than just the act. Affection is 24/7.
And so you can't hurt me and then come home and expect me to have forgotten or say something short to me during the day and expect that those words still are not resonating. I find that even as Christians, we do not regard God's word on every area of our lives. There's no area of my life that God does not want to be a part. There's no area that he wants me to do it without knowing his way of doing it. That's the reason why we're Christians. We realize that our way didn't work.
And not at all.
That what we were doing, it would have put us in a divorce court just as sure as my name is what it is. And because God is the only one can come into a marriage and offer healing and eliminate the wounds so that they won't even be there.
Oh, yeah.
No one is to dominate me and take away my one-on-one with Christ, but he is the leader. And there are many instances where I've seen a different outcome because my husband was in leadership. Even how the children respond, even what the children say and what the children, how they talk, it's because when a father is in place, not hollering, screaming, cussing, fussing, when a father is in place, when your children see you pray, when they know your walk with God, it causes a order to come to your house, and that's the order of God.
Definitely. God has not changed his order.
No.
From day one, man, woman, then your family. He's not going to change his order. And since God is not going to change his order, man, we got to come up to his standards. He can right the ship in any situation, but you got to allow him to it. Man, again, I keep hopping on it because he created me to be that man. He represent him. You got to do it God's way. And as maybe the guy said the same, we're talking about Christian man. You got to do it God's way. You are wired to do it. He wired men in differently. He wired us differently from the neck up. So you can do it. You can do it. So to get difficult sometimes, hey, God don't put nothing on you that you can't handle. Mm-hmm. But you got to allow him to handle it.
And so a prayer life is important.
The greatest. God, remember who did God get the prayer life to first? Adam, which was all it was his communication with him. Mm-hmm. A powerful prayer life.
And every day, to give you an illustration, God came to the garden and he and Adam had a relationship.
Definitely.
That was before Eve. And so,
definitely,
man, you know, sometimes I wake up and my husband will say, you know, the Lord woke me up. I got up and I went downstairs and prayed. There has to be prayer in this day and time.
Oh, yeah.
In this time of conflict, in this time that when our children leave the house and we don't know if they're coming back in the house, the encounter of police, you can't even say it's going to come from a gangster. It's everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
And so when the father takes the lead, you say, well, I don't know how to pray. Prayer is talking to God.
Talking to God.
If you can talk, you can pray. Prayer is not that difficult. Don't go on. You don't need a book to tell you what to say when you pray. Just pray what's in your heart. Pray what's in your mind. Pray for your wife. Pray for your children. You know, it's a sad thing when our fathers are not praying for their children. I don't care if you're married to the mother or not. You've got to ask God to take off the blinders, to see how important a relationship with God. And God isn't half as bad as we paint him. He's not half as critical as we make him seem. He's a loving God. He's going to judge you. But it's like we spank our children. We spank them out of love. If we're not angry, if we're not upset, then our correction is done to make them better.
Yes.
And that's what God is saying. You got to pray for your family. You got to pray for your wife. And then when you get through praying, you just can't pray and read the Bible all the time and never spend any time. There ought to be time of laughter. There ought to be time where you enjoy each other. It does now. You said, well, we can't go nowhere. Maybe you can sit on your porch. We were out yesterday and I came by and we saw couples. They looked like they were couples sitting out on the porch. It's not where you go.
No.
It's not how much money you pay to go. You can be in the house and enjoy each other's company.
Yeah.
You can be in the house and enjoy a laughter. You ought to be able to laugh. I don't care how saved you are.
Light.
You ought to be able to laugh.
Yeah,
no more yourself.
Yeah.
Don't always walk around. Yes, we study. We both read the word. We minister the word. But there's times we go walking. We are laughing. We're enjoying each other. I don't want to wait till my husband's not here and then wish. I want to take every moment and encase it. So when either of us leave here, we got good memories. We're not so glad that they're gone and then miss them, because a half a pillow is worse, is better than no pillow.
Yes.
For saying it a lack of another way. So I don't want to wait until he's not here. We want to enjoy each other. So we're saying to all of you that are listening to us today, that it is important that you understand God can put your marriage back together. In the last few weeks, I've heard about marriages. Some of them met their spouse online. I don't care how you meet them. The first thing you ought to want to know is, what's your relationship with God? But you can't demand from someone something you don't have yourself. Isn't that right?
That's true. And remember, young people, young couples, God is looking for you to represent him in this day and time. Yes, you see us, we're seniors, and he's looking for us too. But the Bible says the young are strong. There's people out here that like to see young people that's representing God, that's having successful marriages, that's having marriages that go through, but go through it together and handle God's business together. They need to see that. Mm-hmm. They need to see that, young people. Mm-hmm. So I implore you, young people, do it God's way. You're going to have difficulties. Work out the difficulties. There's your instruction book, mm-hmm, right here. I always say there's no worldly solution for a kingdom situation. Mm-hmm. And as a Christian, all our situations are kingdom. Go into your instruction book. Mm-hmm. And then once you find out what to do, do it. Mm-hmm. Allow the Holy Spirit, which is your guide, to help you to do it. He won't make you. He won't force you. But he's there if you want to do it.
So we're hoping today that what we've started talking about, marriage, conflict, the position of the man, what God requires of the woman, and we do this even among our own membership.
Yes.
We talk about, pastor teaches the men, and he teaches them on what they're supposed to do as the foundation of their families. And we've had young men to come in,
yeah,
and get a little bit, and then they leave. But I'm going to say to you, every man that's listening to us today, look at what's happening in the world.
Oh, yeah.
Look at what is going on right now. Look at our young men that are being killed,
yes,
in front of our eyes. I implore you, it's time to make a change. It's time that you realize that God has an order. That's the thing. The Bible that my husband showed you a few minutes ago, it has in there God's order.
Yeah.
It's not something for you and I to read so we can beat up people about it. It's for us to read to understand what was the relationship God had with Adam. And what was his,
yeah,
plan? That
yeah,
Bible gives us the plan that God had for that relationship to materialize. And Adam broke it.
Yes, he did.
Because he disobeyed,
disobeyed
God. Then Jesus came and put it back together. And I know the devil tells you those church folk ain't right, because you're thinking that when you come into the kingdom, you got to be perfect. And can I tell you today, I don't care how much you take off. I don't care how much lipstick you start wearing. I don't care how many things you don't do. You still need God to
come in. Definitely.
To get rid of all the bitterness and hurt and all the things that have gone on. All the men, even in your marriage, all the conflicts that you've had that has not been mended. When a man get in place, and you know, it's simple for us to see because we see the light. But if you're in the dark, the devil doesn't want you to see the light.
No way.
He wants you to make you feel like You, every woman you're with is going to be the perfect person, or every man you're with is going to be the perfect person. And I know you know by now, there are no perfect mates out here. And the one, or boyfriend or girlfriend, that's why you have multiples, because you haven't found the perfect. And if you're about to get married, or if you are married, there still is no perfect folk. Because if we were perfect, we wouldn't need Jesus. So since we need him, that indicates that we're not perfect. And so I say to you today, think about it, man. It's not that difficult.
Not at all.
You can laugh. You can enjoy life.
Oh, yeah.
You can still do some of the things. Sin don't come from a lot of things. I don't want to just point out what you don't do. I want to tell you what you can.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, in the kingdom, I'm having the best time of my life. And I encourage you to really, men, step up. Ask God to help you. Don't just take our word for it.
Not at all.
Ask God to help you. I guarantee that if you come to him with an honest heart and learn to pray with your children, let your children hear you pray. Let your children hear you pray for them. And you will never know what those prayers will do for them each and every day. So today, my husband's going to pray, and we pray that this, just this talking, just us coming together,
yes,
and talking about marriage, because this is what we believe in doing. We,
yes,
believe that God wants to be in your marriage,
every aspect,
your money, your disposition, how you work, who you work with, what he want to do. There's no area of our lives that we can leave him. And I'm telling you, especially now with all the conflict, which are in multiple ways, he wants us to rely even the more on him. So Pastor's going to lead in prayer, and then we're going to thank God that we were able to come to you today to be a blessing to you. And I pray that you will take just some of what we said and apply it to your lives and just see, won't it work just a little bit better?
Now remember, man, before I pray, God created us to be the foundation. A foundation don't even have to be seen. This house is built on the foundation. But if the foundation is not strong, the top part of this house will fall down. My baby is the senior pastor. So 99.9% of the time, she's ministering word. Now, if I had a problem with that, the ministry would be in trouble. But I love being the man God created me to be, to protect her, to cover her, so she's free. She's free to be who God created her to be, because I am in place. Satan have to come through me to get to her, and it won't happen. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of your son, Jesus Christ, we come on behalf of you. We come on behalf of every person that has listened to this message, whether they're married or not married. We come on behalf of the ones that are married, that are having problems. Help them to grasp something we said today that will help them take their marriage to another level. God, we honor you. We honor you for what you have done for us. You chose us to represent you in this day and time. And God, we thank you for that. We don't take that for lightly. Now help us to represent you in the manner that you have created us to represent you. Bless every person we're speaking to. God, we say a special blessing for this world. You say you can change circumstances. You say prayer will win the world for Christ. And that's what we're doing. God, when you finish showcasing what you're doing, you're looking for some people that you go raise up in this day and time to represent you the way you want us to represent you. God, we thank you for this time. Continue to bless us, our ministry, and every ministry out there. Bless every person out there. These blessings we truly ask in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Let us all say amen.
Amen. So we're the pastors of the Rock Christian Church Ministries. May God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.